Tonight, don't come up just yet, but tonight, Art and Donna Fuller are going to share some things on their heart with us. And I'm so glad that you are, because you guys are my heroes. And I've said that a couple times publicly, but I just wanted you to hear it publicly too. Most of you in this room know this, but not all of you do, that that Art and Donna's oldest son, Aaron, died in a motorcycle accident about a month ago, something like that, a couple weeks ago. September 30th. So, so they've been on a journey that they're gonna share some, and obviously they're just starting on this new phase of this journey. So all they can do is share where they are at right now. But this church is different in a lot of ways, and one of the ways is that it really is a lot like a family. In a lot of ways, this is like one big home group. It really is. Because it's like, you know what? Whatever we were doing, this is part of our family. And after, you know, just hearing some of their heart, I'm like going, wow, you guys got to hear this because it's amazing. So it's kind of like we're in a small group and it's their turn to share tonight. And I just know you're going to be massively encouraged because all of us go through a lot of different things. And so even if you haven't lost a child, there's still a whole lot you're going to take from this of believing God's goodness. And so who is going to speak first? Donna? So would you bless Donna Fuller with me?
Okay, who got those kisses tonight in worship? Weren't those wonderful? Oh my goodness. It's like hearing those songs that the Lord gave you to sing tonight, Carla. It's almost like, did I even need to get up here? God is so good. He's so amazing and so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being my family. Thank you for holding us in prayer. Thank you for all the times you thought about us. Thank you for the times that you sighed, that you carried us in your hearts. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the love offerings, for the times when Art couldn't work. Not only this time, but when I was going through the glaucoma, cancer, blah, 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 all of that stuff. You were there for us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is like a real body. It's not like a church. It's like a real body that things just come together in such a beautiful way. We are blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. God is good. He's good. He's great. He's wonderful. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's beautiful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. The word of God is true. The word of God is true. Every promise that God's made is true. Every promise that God has made is true. Oh my goodness. There's so much to share, and I'm like, oh Lord, where do I start? Normally I would have written something up and you know, try to practice it, but as you can see, I have my new eye. This isn't the one I can see through yet. But I was at what's the name of that guy? I was at the ocularist this week for practically three full days. So check it out. So I didn't get to write anything, but you know what Pastor Brent said is so true. We're just family. We're just family. And so, you know, oh, the scripture that just pops in my mind right now is, the goodness of the Lord makes rich, and he addeth no sorrow. He addeth no sorrow. So, this has been a journey, as you know, with the eye thing. You guys have been there with me. So I just thought maybe I'd share some of my journaling. You know, on June 27th, this is what I wrote. Dearest Papa, in 16 days I'm scheduled to go to San Francisco and have my right eye removed. Will there be a last-minute reprieve? Will you completely heal me before then, or is this something I have to walk through? I want to jump into a deeper level of intimacy with you. I have to be able to hear your sweet voice and really know it's you. Will you speak to me now? What would you say to me? I am the God of vindication. I will vindicate you. I will vindicate you in the eyes of your children. Watch and see what I will do. It will be a delight to you. You are a delight to me. If you only knew how very much I delight in you, your heart would sing for joy. Take your harp down from the willow tree, my daughter. Your time is coming soon, very soon. I am even at the door, bearing gifts for you. You please me. That wasn't my question. I said, Lord, are you going to heal me? You know, we ask questions and God answers what he wants to answer, you know. And so, you know, I had to pull this out. I'm the God. I will vindicate you in the eyes of your children. A lot of you know that our children at one point were involved in ministry and got wounded and walked away. And so this is like, okay, Lord, you're going to vindicate me, but what about my eye? I mean, you know, God does these amazing things, but this came back. I mean, God works in so many layers. Things that you don't understand later, you go, oh, I see. I see what you're doing, Lord. June 28th, dearest Papa, thank you for the thoughtful gifts you keep sending my way. Helen's prayers, Diane's wonderful massages and chicken soup, which strengthened me in so many ways. Thank you for my dad bringing me the Percocet. What a difference this has made. Wow, I felt like a princess today. Two massages in 2 days. Wow, thank you, Papa, for the many ways your loving hands are touching me. Thank you for all my dear brothers and sisters who are holding me in prayer. Helen saw me in a waterfall of light. Debbie saw light all around me. Art saw light going into my head, my jaws, my eyes. Thank you, Papa, for the ability to sit and write this, and that I'm not holding my pain-filled head and moaning or pacing the floor. Thank you for sleep and rest and the ability to desire to eat and enjoy food. Papa, I'm writing with much joy in my heart for your plan to unfold. It will be a great plan, a perfect plan, one I couldn't have come up with, but will greatly rejoice in. Do you have anything you want to say to me? I love you, my child. I love you. You really need to know that. Let it sink in. Let me tell you, I love you. Feel my love. Bask in it. Bathe in it. Soak it up. I love you. How do we get through these times? June 5th. Art and I went out to Lakeland because I had the glaucoma from the cancer and was in all of the pain, and we just went to be healed. And while we were out there, the Lord did amazing things. Friday, June 5th, so much has happened, Papa. Tonight during worship, I got a glimpse of heaven. As we as our worship transcended from words and defined thoughts to sounds coming from the very depths of our spirits, man letting go of control and moving into a simple response to being in the presence of greatness. I heard the roar of the crowd rise and fall and had such a sense of Jesus, the conquering king, entering the building. The sound went on and on. I started crying because I was fast forwarded to the day when Jesus receives his reward. Oh, the joy. Oh, the majesty of our Savior, so worthy of all praise and adulation. What an honor to be in a place with 10,000 brothers and sisters who are standing in awe of our elder brother. Jesus. Precious Papa, wonderful Jesus, a sacrifice of praise because you are wonderful. You are right in everything you do. You are faithful in spite of all my wobblings. Thank you for your immeasurable kindness. I feel like I've blown a whole week in depression. Shame. And the shame is because I have been human, not a superhero. You are the true superhero. You hung on the cross knowing you could have delivered yourself at any time. You endured the most horrible beatings, false accusations, mockings, and even abandonment by those who were your closest friends. Those you had poured your heart and soul into for 3 years, giving them all the inside information. You did all this willingly because you knew how much your Father loved his creation. And of course, you shared the love and passion for us in simple human beings. Thank you. I am amazed at your love. If I could have delivered or healed myself this past month, I would have in a heartbeat. What a bummer it is to be blind in one eye, even worse to have one eye totally gone. Yet I know that you are good and your plans for me and my life are perfect. I know that because I know you. Thank you for teaching me over and over who you are. I feel so very blessed to know these things. Papa, I need wisdom for how to walk through my upcoming days, wisdom and strength. I'm going to be looking for how you will download this to me. I actually believe that you've been waiting for just this moment in time. Would to God I had gotten here sooner. Thank you, Lord. Saturday, 10:04, 4:46 a.m. It's been 5 days now since we found out about Aaron changing locations, graduating to glory, died. So many different words that mean such different things. Oh, Papa, how good you are to us. How good you are to me. So many wonderful stories. So many hurtful memories. So many tears. Thank you for the beautiful time of worship with the Lockers and the Louts and Tim. It was so sweet having Dan here and hearing his heart. I know he was so blessed by being in our around our loving friends. It's so funny, but as we are reaching the ages where we are, I'm seeing such a increase in men wanting to share their wisdom. I like that. Oh, excuse me, my nose is running. Thank you so much. Isn't he wonderful? Okay. Huh. Oh, October 13th. dearest Papa. I'm stunned that so much has changed in so little time. My dear son Aaron has gone to be with you. Yay for him. I have no words to describe it. It's so amazing and wonderful for him. But what a huge hole it has left in the atmosphere. I ask that the third heaven reality begins a whirlwind in his people group through the hole that has been created by his departure. May those who get the tapes of his memorial be rocked with the truth that was shared, and may they be drawn right into your heart. Jason Lockwood, Trevor, Dirty Hippie, who isn't dirty, doesn't look like a hippie, Adam, Little Pants, Papa, you know each of their names. May they be a part of the end-time harvests. Papa, would you speak to me about Aaron? Was he taken out because he offended? You know how the Bible says that before the harvest, he's going to take out everything that offends? That just kind of hit me like, was that it, Lord? What was the meaning of his death? And then he said to me, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm going, okay. Then he said, some people are stuck in places that are so not who they are and so not satisfying. I do not want them to stay stuck. Sometimes drastic things happen that cause a shift in people's thinking. This was one of those things. It will be very painful for the guys to come to the clubhouse and see Aaron not there. They will be dealing with the meaning of his life and the words that you shared that bring a fuller understanding. You have prayed and I have heard your prayers. You have prayed prayers that pleased me, praying even for those you were angry with because you saw them as a bad influence on your sons. You did not know it would cost you so dearly to see them saved. But I will do everything I can to cause them to know the truth of your words, the truth of your lives. You do not try to manipulate or maneuver. Do you know how much that pleases me? Thank you for trusting me. I love that you trust me. I am trustworthy. I am. I have great rewards for you, my daughter. I am not going to ask you what you want. I know the deepest desires of your heart, the ones you can't even admit to yourself. Well, guess what? I'm that good. I'm so much better than you think, and nothing is impossible for me. And I want to bless you. Get ready. It's okay. These last couple weeks have been like walking on a waterbed. You know, if you lose a child and they're a child, you're the only one that's planning the memorial. If you lose a child and they're an adult, it's a totally different thing. And, oh my goodness, I can't even begin to tell you all the ways the Lord took and shifted things and made them so beautiful and so amazing. How many of you were at the memorial? Was that the coolest thing you ever saw? It was amazing. We had judges and Hell's Angels and undercover cops who were undercover, and they were there because they were Aaron's friends. We had, like, I don't know, 500, 700, something like that, a huge group of people at the memorial. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Last year, one of the boys' good friends died, and I went to his funeral. And as I sat there in a room full of people, there was no hope. It was the most devastating thing to sit there and think, Lord, did Nate ever hear about you? Is he lost forever? And I had no opportunity to stand up and speak, but for days, you know, my heart was grieved, just like, God, oh God, oh God. And, little did I know he was going to give me the opportunity to speak to those guys. You know, what a good God. What a good God. You know, each one of those people are part of his reward, part of Jesus' reward, and he loves them so very dearly. When Aaron, we first got the news about Aaron dying, you know, I'm a fighter, so it was like, oh, you know, resurrection, let's go. And, you know, I'm ready. And the Lord spoke to Art and said, he's not coming back. And I'm like, the time my car got stolen, I'm like, well, now what do I do? I can't fight. I can't fight for my son's life. You know, how do I, you know, my car got stolen once and I walked out and it's like, you know, I'm looking all the way around the building. Where'd it go? I mean, just this confusion set in. And just, Lord. And later, as God is bringing these things together, I see the goodness of the Lord in the way he did it, in the way he told Art right away. In everything in this, I see the goodness of the Lord. I see the kindness of the Lord. Right from the beginning, the Lord showed me that Aaron was a seed sown. He was a seed planted for his generation. He was 35 years old, one of the most amazing, amazing people. And Art and I got to speak at his memorial. I think you already figured that out, right? at the memorial, I knew that there would be people there from the church where he got wounded. And Pastor Brent, we kind of talked about that. There's an elephant in the room. You know, at this memorial, you're going to have all of the people that knew Aaron and his biker, all of this kind of lifestyle, and then you have all of his Christian ministry things. And the Lord had me deal with that. And I'm just going to read a little bit about how the Lord walked me through that. Is that okay, Pastor Brent? Okay. So I talked about, hold on one second. It says a little bit. First, I just talked about, you know, Aaron when he was a kid, but as I began to deal with this situation, it says, as I watched them grow through the years, my deepest heart cry was that they would love God and love each other. My prayer seemed to be answered when Aaron, in his late teens, joined a Christian youth ministry. He did some pretty amazing things that were so well suited to his personality and giftings. He got to plan and create great events full of action and fun. He put together a coffee shop where teens could hang out. We made drinks with our espresso machine. He had kids doing sumo wrestling, climbing walls, doing all the kinds of things that only Aaron would think up. He poured himself into the lives of the kids, being a friend, a counselor, a dad. The thing was, this wasn't his job, something that he just loved the kids. He went to great lengths to make them feel loved and cared for. He led worship on a 10-person worship team, and he loved doing that. Unfortunately, there were some things that happened that caused great distress. Wounded people wound people. After watching people he loved get trashed by a religious system, Aaron walked away. The thing is, Aaron didn't walk away from God because God is love, and Aaron never stopped loving. With all of those, like, 500 to 700 people there, it says, each one of you here are a living testimony to that truth. You are here because Aaron loved you, and you couldn't help loving them in return. Think about that. What a message that is for us, that we would so love people that they can't help but loving us in return. I mean, that's amazing. Lord, Jesus. The Lord had me at one point say, as a mom, my heart has been broken. As a follower of Jesus, I'm so deeply sorry for each person sitting here today who's felt judged, condemned, betrayed, discounted, unloved, used, abused, and been disappointed in people who should have treated you better but didn't. On behalf of those who have borne the title of Christian but have not walked out the character of true love, I ask your forgiveness. And I had people come to me after the memorial saying, my mom was part of the Catholic Church and she got hurt. I had a girl come up to me and say, would you pray with me? I got to pray with someone. We had, you know, you don't know who's out there. You don't know. But there's so many people that have been so hurt. And it was such an honor for me to be able to stand up there and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry we didn't see who you are. I'm so sorry we didn't love you like you deserve to be loved. So, this is what the Lord said to me as I was preparing it. He said, Donna, do not be afraid to stand before the crowds tomorrow. Yes, there will be crowds, for your son was greatly loved. You have heard correctly that he was a seed sown. His light has not gone out. In fact, it grows brighter and brighter the longer he's with me. I love Aaron. I loved him before I sent him to you. He has accomplished so much in his short lifetime. His hands of love have been my hands of love. His eyes shone with my love. He has such a value for family that he made it wherever he went. He has brothers and sisters all over the world. He is like my son Jesus. He says, do you remember when his mother Mary and his brothers and sisters went to get Jesus, trying to get him to come home to his own family? But he ignored them because I had other children I wanted to know of my love. Do you not know that every hug he gave, every time he said, I love you to one of these, he was saying it to the person. It was me saying it to the person. Aaron let me use his words, his mouth, to bring words of encouragement and wisdom. Yes, my daughter, Aaron pleased me greatly. Aaron did not walk as a program, a religious system. He was into relationships. He was into the greatest treasure, people. And then because there were so many tattooed people there, the Lord had me speak about tattoos. How many of you know Jesus had tattoos? Huh? Huh? Okay, I see some of you do. The Lord showed me the scripture. Can a nursing mother forget her own child? Yes, she can forget. He said, but I will never, no, not ever forget you. Look, I've tattooed you. I've engraved you. Okay, is that a tattoo? An engraving? Huh? Huh? Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And the Lord showed me, it's like not your name, because there's lots of Donna Fullers. There's lots, I mean, there's even more Amariah Fullers with the same spelling, A-M-A-R-I-A-H. Now, who would think that? You know, there's another Amariah Fuller. He said, behold, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your face on the palms of his hands. Every time he looks down, he sees you. I will never, no, not ever forget you. No, not ever. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, every time he looks at his hands, he sees you. He sees your face. He loves you. He cares for you. He adores you. He likes you. He thinks you're great. Not just because he sees you, not just because God sees you through the blood of Jesus, but because of who you are. who you are. There's no one else like you. Each one, and I got to say this. I got to say this to these guys. Ha ha. I got to say to them, Well, at that morning, as I'm sitting there getting ready, it's like, oh, Jesus. We're having coffee and trying to finish up what we were going to share. And I got the most amazing picture in my spirit. The angels in heaven were so excited. They were leaning over. They were jumping up and down with joy. Aaron was so excited, too. He loved each of you so much. He was hoping Art and I would be faithful to tell you that heaven is real and he is so glad to be there. So there were other personal things. The Lord, he wanted David and Amari to know he loved the memorial. It was just what he would have wanted. And he wanted Lorraine to know that up, he was proud to be your brother, and that up in heaven, he's known as Lorraine's brother. Now, that's a gift from the Lord, because those, my boys, are so tight, and they're so well known. I mean, they are so well known, and Lorraine always kind of feels left out. And Aaron's going, oh, Lorraine, up in heaven, I'm known as your brother. So, God, you have a destiny for Lorraine that's just going to be amazing. Then I got to say to them, each of you sitting here today is so very precious, so very irreplaceable. Each one of you are truly God's gift to the world and each other. Yay, God! I got to say that to them. You are God's gift to the world. I can say that to you. Each one of you are God's gift to the world. You are God's gift to the world, and you're God's gift to each other. And when you look at each other, you should say, whoa, that's a present. This is a present. I should get to know this present. You know? So, let's see. Was there anything else, Lord? Oh, yeah. Oh, I was at the Folklers home group, and we were worshiping, and it was so wonderful. And we were singing the song, "In the Glory of Your Name, I Rest Under Your Shadow." And the Lord was just showing me that for each person there, and that's each person here, there's a name of the Lord for what you're going through right now. There's a name of the Lord, and in that name is the glory needed for right where you are. There is power in the glory of the El Shaddai, the breasted one, the nourisher, the feeder, every situation. Then Susan heard from the Lord and said, let's just ask Jesus to show us one thing about him that we don't know. And this was really amazing that the Lord showed me. I saw a flash of brilliance of a diamond shining, pulsing in the darkness, radiance of beauty like a supernova in the night sky, beyond any beauty or power or anything I could imagine, so not of the earth, so God, transcends earth and earthly things. Change your perspective, come up higher. The earthly perspective will keep you captive, and I want to use you in ways that will be impossible if you don't let go of your limited understanding of who I truly am. He is God. He is God. He is God. He is Abba. He is God. He is God. It's like the Lord showed me once about the awe of God. We're like this. Oh, oh. And he's like this. Ah, ah. Oh. Hey, so how do we walk through this? How do we walk through this? We worship. We worship. Worship is our life blood. We worship. Oh, I mean, I can't wait to be in the presence of the Lord. It's like my drug of choice. Lord, in Him we live. Let's all say it together. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. Our Son lived His life. He was a secret agent for God. And we did not understand that. We didn't know. We had, oh God, save our Son. Oh Jesus, you see what He's doing? The Lord said, I see what He's doing. He's out there loving. He's setting up. There's a divine setup. A divine setup. And you get to walk in and you get to explain why Aaron was who he was. Because of me. Because of Jesus. We are blessed and highly favored. When Art and I realized that we got to speak to this group, we were like stunned. Our kids didn't want to have a pastor speak because they were afraid it was going to be, okay, we have a captive audience. Okay, you want to go to hell or you want to see Aaron in heaven? Let's see those hands. Come on, come on, come on. You know, that's what they were afraid of. We're going, but Pastor Brent's not like that. And they're going, Mom, Dad, you guys have earned the right to speak to these people. So we said, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You have given us this amazing opportunity to do this. How could we not? How could we not? It was just, I felt like I was at a wedding reception. I felt like I was at a wedding reception. It's like, God, you must really trust us. There's all of these people who've been offended most likely by Christians, you know, and you're letting us speak to them. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. So, God, Don, we're going to do it. Because, you know, I'll tell you what. One of the most powerful weapons that we have is worship and praise. And when, you know, if the enemy throws something at me, it's like, okay, you want to throw that at me? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. So remember the God, you are wonderful. God, you are powerful. God, you are beautiful. God, you are awesome. So you guys are the God. You are wonderful. God. God, you are beautiful. God, you are powerful. And we'll all do it together. God, you are awesome. I got to give you the rhythm. It goes like this. God, you are wonderful. Try that. Come on. God, you are wonderful. God, you are beautiful. God, you are powerful. God, you are awesome. Okay, let's try that again. Okay, ready? God, you are wonderful. God, you are beautiful. God, you are powerful. God, you are awesome. God, you are wonderful. God, you are beautiful. God, you are powerful. God, you are awesome. God, you are wonderful. God, you are beautiful. God, you are powerful. God, you are awesome. God, you are wonderful. God, you are beautiful. God, you are powerful. God, you are awesome. God, you are awesome. God, you are awesome.
Wow, Don. Amazingly wonderful art.
Yay, God. Yay, God. That's awesome. Wow. I don't even know how to, somewhat how to begin, because there's so much. God has been speaking to me every single day, and he's been walking with me, walking me through everything. Don and I have been walking through a place we never imagined we would ever walk. And I think it's almost like one thing was on the heels of the next. Donna with her eye, and the difficulty of going through that. Our car died, my truck died, and it was like, you know, it was all these things that were like the circumstances in our lives where we just were taken. It felt like you're getting hit, you know, you're taking the hit. It's like, you know, circumstances happen and things happen, and you're just going, whoa. This is like wild, you know. It's interesting to me, too, that at the same time, the focus of my life has been on the goodness of God. God just has taken me for just a really long season and just camping in the goodness of God. And I'm going, wow, this is like really interesting. How do you come out and walk through all of this, and then God's saying, you know, there's more goodness you haven't seen yet, you know? And it just doesn't add up. For most people, it doesn't make any sense. How do you do this? How do you walk through this? How is it that you get hit by a freight train when someone says, my son said, Aaron's in heaven, and you're just like, you just feel like everything has dropped inside your body. It feels like somebody just dropped you off a cliff and you hit the bottom, and you're going, I, you know, your mind just reels because you just can't believe that it's the worst possible thing you could ever imagine. And then how do you go on? And I just remember just absolutely sobbing and just completely feeling the deep anguish and the deep sorrow and the deep pain. It really hurt big time. And I was going, God, don't ask me to do this. Don't, please, God, this can't be happening. Don't ask me to do this. I can't do this. And I've been having the Lord visit me in the morning. because joy comes in the morning. And he has been ministering to me before Aaron died. While we were going through the struggles with Donna's eye, going to Lakeland, the Lord was just bringing joy to my life. And he was bringing words of encouragement to me. His encouragement is closer than a brother's encouragement. His love just never fails. Simply doesn't fail. His love doesn't fail to love and continue to love. There's no end to that kind of love that he demonstrates to us. And when we think it's impossible, you know, then he comes with true love and encouragement that just carries you. My feet have not touched the ground since my son died. God literally has been carrying me. I haven't had to carry anything. He's financially carried us through this time because of the heart that people have for us, and because we're part of a family. God put it on people's heart. All of our financial things have been taken care of. The entire funeral cost for Aaron was taken care of. It was just, you know, just part of this huge gift of the kindness of God. That is in a tangible form that you're just stunned by. By the beauty. My son was cremated, so it's very poignant when you think of beauty for ashes. And we didn't expect to discover the beauty that was in my son's life. It was something that we just didn't know about. We didn't know that Aaron was loving people the way that he was loving people. It was huge. It can only be the love of Jesus Christ that loves like that. So my idea of what it looks like to be a minister has really been shattered. I realized that I had bias, personal bias, religious bias, that God just came in with a sledgehammer. And he just took and he just demolished it in my spirit. He's allowed me to just go to a new place where I've never gone before in his goodness. He's let me understand that goodness is way better than I can ever think or ask. And I kind of knew that before, but he just like took me to a different place. That is mercy and kindness is so much better. That we have taken this unconditional love, the message of unconditional love, and we have created walls without really understanding that they're walls, and the walls are here. The walls are here because we can't believe the truth that it's that good. So the body of Christ has taken this wild, amazing love, and we have represented it. And I had to talk to people who don't know about church, who don't have concepts about church, but they understand love. Because love was involved in their lives to such an extent that their lives were changed. And it was through one person who loved in an unconditional way. And there were people who you wouldn't want to necessarily meet. They were intimidating people. They were bikers. They had, just by looking on the outside, you wouldn't imagine the marshmallow on the inside. You wouldn't understand the tenderness that was deep inside. You wouldn't get that they were hurting. You wouldn't get that they're struggling. And I've had a lot of time to really meditate on a lot of things. And I've had to come to realize that the difficult things that I saw my son go through were part of a plan and purpose. Because it took him to go through places so that he would be immersed in a culture that I didn't simply understand at all. That it took difficult things for him to be who he was. It wasn't easy. He had this tenacity to love. He had the ability to see the treasures in people. And it's a gift from God to do that. You can't love like Aaron loved unless it's God's love. I've been incredibly challenged by his life because he was able to do things and love people in ways that I have not even known myself. And I think God has just, you know, this is a huge gift to my life because he's prepared the hearts of so many people where God is wanting them to come into the fullness of knowing the love of Christ, to knowing the love of God. And through this whole thing, the thing that I've struggled with the most, because I realized that Aaron was not at all fitting any kind of ministry style. He was really the misfit of ministry style. He sung with a band that were called the Misfits. And I would say that fit Aaron really well. Not that he was wanting to promote what that band represented, but really he just was outside of the box of what the church looks like. Wow. I'll tell you, that's hit me the hardest. Because I realized that I had frameworks that how ministry should look and how it should be. And I realized that so much of it is non-relational. That Aaron loved in a place of relationship. I had people just weeping, trying to describe how much they loved Aaron. And that was just in awe. I was like, oh my God. It was clear that they'd been touched. I had a man walk up to me and say, Aaron, I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Aaron. He walked me through suicide. I wouldn't know my life mate that I love and adore if it wasn't for Aaron. He introduced us and encouraged us. It just went on. It was almost like my son was just a pastor. Two bikers. And to Hell's Angels. And to, you know, it just, you're stunned. I've been given the greatest gift because I grieved for my son. I grieved for wanting to see him in a place how I thought ministry looked like. And God just blew me away saying, you know, you want to see real ministry. Aaron was doing it. It was completely outside of the box. These guys love me because my son loved them. So I really need prayer because I want to see them loved into the kingdom. I don't want it just to be that they experience the love of God through a man who totally loved them in a real way that really rocked their world. But I want to see them experiencing the love of God and finding love that Aaron knew about. There's one or two more things I want to really share. Because I've, you know, when you go through things like this, you kind of focus on what's really important. It kind of takes and puts everything aside in your life, and you decide, you know, not a whole lot of things are important right now to me. And so I begin to think about the gems that God's allowed me to know in my own life. And I feel like I've been trying to understand what my son lived. You know, I've been soaking in God. I've been trying to understand the goodness of God. I've been trying to experience God. And it feels like I've spent my whole life going after God, and yet my son was loving in really powerful ways that really impacted people. There was one thing that happened early on in our marriage, Don and I, and this helped me. This was like one of my greatest gifts that I got from the Lord, and that was that he let me see that even on a human love level, love has to be held in a place on its own. Value and love for another person has to have its own place that cannot be linked with performance. Because if you have a mate and you put performance and link it with performance and call it love, it's no longer love. It eliminates the power of it to stay in the same place. So it's no longer that high place of value and love, because you've just demeaned it by creating a way that it can be devalued. That was the greatest gift that I have ever received in learning about love in a practical way, just even on a human level. And so I wanted to share that with you, that love has to be in a relationship with one another, because this is between you and another person. It has to be in a place where it can never be linked with performance. Love has to be in a place on its own that's held in a place of value and love. And if you keep it that way, your love will never be diminished. The value will never cease. And it will be the buffer that you need with the complications of relationships in your life that will totally help you in every difficulty and everything you go through. If you have the stability that love and value are together without linking to any performance or anything else, your love will stay strong. It will carry you through every possible difficulty in your life. That's gift one. In your relationship with yourself and other people, gift two is that's how God loves. Unconditional love means it's unconditional. And it comes from a place that is absolutely where we can't even go in our hearts and our minds. It comes from a place that's almost beyond comprehension and almost beyond understanding. There's a place of holiness. In Habakkuk 1:13, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. To understand the holiness of God that is pure beyond imagination, this kind of holiness has boundaries placed around it so it remains separated in an astonishing purity that is God-defined. In other words, God's holiness is incomprehensible. It's so sacred that it goes beyond our ability to even conceive of or understand. And in that place of his holiness, he had to make a decision. God brilliantly decided that he couldn't look on iniquity, but he had a solution so that it wasn't a problem. This amazing solution is the finished work of the cross. You see, God can look, he doesn't have to look on our iniquity anymore because he solved the problem of sin. He solved the problem of iniquity because of the cross of Jesus Christ. He simply took sin and judged the sin in Christ. And that judgment, the final judgment, is that we're innocent. And now we're in a place of being innocent before God. And that's not just as an act of receiving the gift of salvation. That's that view of the judgment of sin has already been dealt with covers everyone. It covers everyone so that everyone, irregardless of whether they've received the gift that's offered by God, is held in a place where they are innocent. They are judged innocent. This is such a wild truth. It's such an amazing truth. This being innocent precedes receiving the free gift of being judged innocent in Christ. This is an awkward concept that does not fit into the religious mindset. There's all kinds of scholastic attempts to understand love and grace. And they argue back and forth because it's the human quest to try to understand what's incomprehensible. I had to experience the incomprehensible love of God that included the way Aaron lived and loved as God approved. Because he said, he's with me. That he's in the presence of God. Was everything that Aaron did perfect? No, he was a human being, just like all of us, just like you and me. Aaron had weaknesses, he had strength. He had difficulties, he had struggles. But I think what's so amazing about what I gained as a result of going through this is that I go, you have difficulties, you have weaknesses, you have struggles. We all are in the same place. God is so brilliant to use all of that. And we often look at our difficulties as obstacles for us to minister love. We disqualify ourselves all the time because we don't understand that none of it's an obstacle for God. None of it disqualifies us. And so my challenge for you is, as well as me, let's move into a new place where we just simply say no to all of our difficulties. We simply discount all of our obstacles. And we just say, Lord, I'm available, use me. In all of my weakness, in all of my struggles, in all of my hang-ups, in all of my inability to know that I can be free in Christ Jesus, that there's a power of the love of God that can be manifest through my life, irregardless of how I believe I look. That I don't have to have the fear of approval of men. My son lived without the approval of the church. I don't know of any church that would have approved of what he did and how he did it. Flat out. Okay. But it didn't stop him, did it? It didn't stop him. That's the amazing thing. That's the absolute stunning thing. Nothing stopped the love. The love message got through loud and clear, and it didn't matter. He had wildness to the style of living that he had. He did crazy things. He did, you know, and everybody wanted to be him. From the time that he started in the youngest part of his life, there's people that came up to me and said, I just wanted to be like your son. And they said, just because I wanted to be like your son, it caused me to take risks and do things that I never thought I could ever do, and I did them. And my whole life is different because I got stretched by your son. Wow, that's a tough thing to have to live to. You know, and so I'm just saying to everyone here, I just want to encourage you that you have more than you even can believe and realize. I'll tell you what, I've done ministry, and guess what? When I come in direct confrontation with someone who seriously has a problem, there is available to me, because of Jesus Christ that lives in me, wisdom that goes beyond who I am. There's a wisdom of God that is absolutely accessible to everyone. And you will hear wisdom coming out of your mouth and you want to write down the words because it's so good, because it's the first time you heard it. I tell you right now, there's something burning inside of me where I want to take more risks with Jesus than I've ever taken before. This has caused a shakeup in my life so that I can't just remain status quo. I'm going to be going into bars. I know it. I'm going to be loving on people that you wouldn't want to associate with. But I got it inside. You know, I saw my son do it. I know it can be done. I know that my life is not going to be the same because I had a son who didn't let anything stop him. Nothing stood in his way. He couldn't help himself because that was his calling. That's who he was in Christ. Christ took him home. He's in the place where I want to be. And I can't even imagine how good it is. Okay, I'm going to tell you something really crazy, but that's okay. I feel closer to my son now than I ever have. And I sense that he's part of the cloud of witnesses that surrounds me. I've heard his voice so clear. How are you today, Pop? And I said, Aaron, what's it like? What's it like to be where you're at? And he said, it's the biggest surprise. And the strangest thing is when I heard it's the biggest surprise, I know wonderful people have written books about going to heaven, describing their experiences in detail. But somehow I know it's better than that. Because they're trying to communicate with their human understanding things that are incomprehensible. And to me, that was a great gift because Aaron was saying, it's way better. That we just really can't comprehend the goodness of God. I have taken such a different view of my understanding of God. And I realize that my humanity has limited God to my ability to understand God, which is not God. It's my ability to try to understand and grapple with the truth. And through this whole thing, it's been really a process. We're going to be having communion, and I was just thinking about how, what is communion really? The New Testament is the story of Jesus at the Last Supper. And he knew he was going to go away. He says, do this in remembrance of me. And I've thought and meditated on this for a lot of times and wondering, God, what is the real truth of this? Why is this so vitally important? And, you know, the scripture talks about, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. And you know, thousands of people walked away from that message. That was the least popular message in all the scriptures. Eat of my flesh, drink. And what does that really mean? He's tearing the bread. He's tearing the loaf. And it's a separation and it's a tearing that goes on. And the Lord was just speaking to me about, you know, the being broken. Being broken. And through all of this, there's been breaking. Breaking of my ideas of who God is. Breaking of my heart. Breaking of things in me. Religious ideas, you know, that aren't part of the truth. And then he says, you know, take and eat. You know, because this lifestyle of Jesus is food indeed, it's life indeed, it's sustenance. That what we go through and what we're walking through is a lifestyle. It's the lifestyle of Jesus. That he's causing us to be transformed in the inner man because of the walk. And when you see someone really loving in a way that is uncharacteristic of the church, you know, it causes you to totally be broken. I was experiencing what it means to enter into brokenness. My brokenness is that I didn't see that it was so easy to love when I don't put all kinds of conditions around it. That unconditional love doesn't need conditions. And so it's made the gospel so much simpler. So eating of the bread is the willingness to be broken. Broken in the lifestyle of love that doesn't have conditions around it. Drinking of the cup. Drinking of the cup is really presenting the truth. If you offer someone the cup of love that's unconditional, they want it. It's not a prohibition. It's something that people absolutely want. We need to present the truth of unconditional love. The wine of his presence, the wine of his love. Brokenness is love revealed in the middle of controversy. A woman caught in the very act of adultery. It was this New Testament revelation of what love really looks like. God did not come to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. The only one who was without sin, Christ, he said, go and sin no more. The power of life and death are in the tongue. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So love is a way for us to experience unconditional love that only comes from the one who loves us unconditionally. And so this has changed the way I look at life hugely, because every morning I say, thank you, Lord, that I am judged innocent before you. And I receive that gift of being innocent. never intended for us to carry. That we can walk in freedom and liberty without performance. That God isn't putting performance on us. He isn't saying, I want you to be this way or look this way or be that way. God literally wants you to be yourself. The only way you can truly be effective is to be yourself. Without any hype, without any of the garbage that the world has tried to smear on you and your life. And that irregardless of where, what you think about yourself, God will use you. God will manifest His love through your life. And the Bob Jones question of going to heaven and being in the line was, did you learn to love? Everything else doesn't even matter. So we want the KISS principle in our lives. We want to be kissed by love. Keep it simple, saints. That's the message. Keep it simple. Don't be complicated. Love is not complicated. Love is just simple and pure and true and honest and real. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
That's a good one.
That right there was the good news. So we're going to take communion together. And, wow. All right. Do you guys want to serve communion tonight? Yes, no? Yeah, okay. So why don't you come up and how about Pierre and Tammy, would you guys serve communion? Would that be all right? Okay. And then... John Paul, Nancy, would you be willing? Okay. So we're going to have just three places where you can come up and take communion. One of them, which one? Oh, the wine is here. And the two silver goblets are grape juice. And so as you come up, I realize some already are, but you can just take bread and dip it in the cup. Before you come up, though, I just and Carla's gonna just lead worship, so you can soak and enjoy the Lord. And boy, after hearing the gospel pretty clearly tonight, which is really good news, all I want to tell you tonight is quite simply, come to Jesus. I mean, it's that simple. Just come to Jesus. Get rid of whatever excuses you have of why He couldn't use you or why He doesn't love you, because none of those are true. None of them. So as you're coming tonight, that's just my plea to you, is just come to Jesus. And if you need time, you know, back in your seat or here at the altar or whatever, just to talk to Him and just believe that He loves you, then please do that. This is that kind of place. My prayer is that each one of you will leave here with the fullness of Him, which means you're going to like yourself and you're going to leave this place full of that love that you get to go give away. That's why we gather here together, to remember again, oh yeah, He's that good. He loves me that much. We need that constant reminder, because we got to go out and give it away, but you can't give away what you don't have. So please, as you come to Jesus and take in the love. So as we, Lord, as we take communion, we remember and agree that You love, so love the world that You came and gave Yourself, Jesus. And so we receive that with gratefulness, with joy in our hearts. Thank You, Lord. I'm asking, God, that You touch every single person here tonight. Every single one of us, God, touch our hearts more and more and more. Draw us in irresistibly, in Jesus' name. And I also, one last thing I forgot to mention, that Lonnie Ellis, his son Lonnie Jr., still in the hospital. Lonnie Ellis is our director of our school ministry. His son's still in the hospital with a cancerous tumor. They've gone from chemo now to radiation. He's a teenage boy, Lonnie Jr. So please keep praying for them. We prayed last week, and in fact, I'm going to pray again in just a second. And also, if any of you want to give towards Lonnie, he's been spending a whole lot of time in the hospital, which means he's in sales. It means he's not out, doing what he needs to do as far as making money. So if any of you want to give, if you put it in the box, just put benevolence. L-E for Lonnie Ellis on the memo, and then we'll just give him all of that, okay? But let's just, before we come up, let's just pray for Lonnie Jr. again. So Father, thank you that all of us together can agree that your heart for Lonnie Jr. is huge. You love him so much. That's your boy. That's your boy. That's your boy. Thank you, God, that cancer must diminish, that darkness must leave in the presence of light. And God, we thank you that your light shines in Lonnie Jr. We thank you for healing his body. We thank you, Jesus, for taking that tumor already on the cross. And God, thank you for right now just flooding his room with your love, with your presence, with your angels, flooding his room with your glory and the joy you take over him as your boy, as your son. And thanks, God, too, for just lifting the burden and the weight and fear and stress off of Lonnie Sr. Just and Lisa, Lonnie's mom, and